You guys ready as we continue our series on Rethink as we look at the Sermon on the Mount? I'm going to ask you to turn. You probably haven't figured out by now, but we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1, going all the way through verse 11 this morning. As we look at Jesus continuing his sermon, not only to those 2,000 years ago, but to us now in 2015, as Jesus launching his ministry into action, explaining what his kingdom was going to look like, explaining what it was going to look like to be a follower of his. And last week we talked about the fact that Jesus told us not to worry. How many of you, well, I'm not going to ask. We all did, didn't we? We all at some point just kind of fell back into that idea. But hopefully for you, just like for me, I remembered some of the things that we talked about last week, that we've been commanded not to worry. That our view of who God is will allow us to trust in him. And so I hope that last week, for me, God really spoke to my heart about the fact that I need to trust him even in my darkest times. And I know there are those that are going through some tough times. And I alluded to this, came right out and talked to about Jenna Murphy in my prayer. And I just want to give you an update. Jenna Murphy has been diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she is down at Emory Midtown, and today the doctors are going to be coming in and assessing with her some of where she's at. It doesn't look good, but we know that we have a powerful God, and we're going to continue to pray for healing for her and for wisdom as they move forward. But we ask as a church to be praying for them, for her and for Bill, and they're going to need some help along the way. And so if you'd be willing at some point to volunteer, please let me know or her deacon know and go from there. But worry is one of those things that's tough, but Jesus rolls right out of that and begins to talk about something that not only that we struggle with worry, but for many of us, maybe we struggle in this area as well. And today we're going to rethink criticism. Rethink being judgmental, judging others. Now, I'm sure you don't struggle with this, but I do. I'm sure that maybe you've got it under wraps, but for me, I don't. And listen, as I was kind of thinking about this whole idea of what it means when Jesus says not to judge, you know, what exactly does all that look like? And it reminded me of something that we do really when we judge somebody and we begin to label them. It's really what we do when we judge people. We label them. We put a label onto them. And it reminded me of a toy that I used to like to play with when I was a kid, you know, mainly because it reminded me of, you know, Star Trek. It was like a phaser, you know, so I get it out and play. But I noticed that if I click this thing, you guys remember these? These old school label? I mean, they were like cutting edge back in the 70s. The fact that you could, you know, I know it's hard to believe that with printers and all the things that we can do now, but it was so amazing that you could make words and just, you know, just whatever you wanted to do, just put it out there. And listen, you know, I remember I got my parents, I just labeled everything. You know, I mean, just whatever it was. And my parents would say, put that away, it's expensive for the tape. And before you know it, I just would find it and label. But really, when we think about the fact that we judge others, isn't that really what we do? Jesus says, listen, you got to be really careful when it comes to this, because we just label somebody out. You probably know what this is like. I know for me, many times people will unjustly label me. People unjustly label you. Many times you walk and you see someone for the very first time and you judge them, don't you? Based on what you see, based on their appearance, based on where they are. And Jesus, as he's going through here, isn't talking about the fact that we don't make judgments about things, do we? Because obviously we do, don't we? We have to make judgments all the time. Listen, if I go into a restaurant and the score is a 13, I'm going to say, you know, I shouldn't judge this place. I'm just going to go in and just not judge them. You know, that's just stupid. Jesus isn't saying that. What he's saying is, we start off here, he's saying, listen, we have to be really careful, because like that label-making machine, we can become like that. We're just cranking out labels about people. She's a winner. He's a loser. You know, I'm sure you've never heard this. Watch out for that guy. First time you meet somebody, you don't want to hang around that person. You know, this person, let me just tell you a few things about them. You know what happens when they do that? They've labeled that person to me, and I don't even know them, do I? I've not even had a chance to get to know who that person is. It's Jesus saying, listen, this is very dangerous. Not only is it dangerous, it's sinful. It's wrong. And on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying, listen, be careful as we criticize. Making judgments is one thing, but another thing is when we begin to criticize unjustly, it becomes very dangerous. You know, today marks, or this weekend marks 50 years since the marches in Selma, and there was something called Bloody Sunday that is going on right now. And do you know where that came out of? People judging others without getting to know them. Making prejudged opinions about another person to the point they begin to hate them without really even knowing them. And you know what? We look at that and we say that's bad, but you know what is no different in our lives? I do it every day if I'm not careful. But there's just another reality that as a church we have to think about. Did you know that people, even now as we sit in here worshiping God, as we have the scriptures open and we're doing this, there are people driving by this church, and as they look over and they look at our church, you know what they think about this place? It's a label-making machine. You know, sometimes the religious can be the most guilty about labeling other people without getting to know them, without really taking the time to get into their lives personally. And this is what Jesus was always about. It wasn't about the outside. It was moving to the inside in a personal way. And he said, listen, be very careful when you label someone and begin to judge them, because in doing so, the evilness of our heart can begin to come out. And as we talked about the anniversary of a horrible situation that happened in Selma, Alabama, some 50 years ago, maybe some of you were labeled as a kid and it still sticks with you today. You're no good. You won't amount to anything. You're not smart. You're not successful. You're ugly. These are labels that many times will stay with you. I'll never forget that my senior year in high school, you know, I remember we went to the gym and everybody was there and we had this huge senior class, you know, and we're sitting there and I'm with my friends and they're calling out senior superlatives. You guys remember these things? They're evil. And I remember thinking, man, senior superlatives. I'm like, man, I'm going to get best legs. And suddenly they called over the loudspeaker, scatterbrain of the year, Ron Kanzler. It changed my life forever. I never thought of myself as someone like that, and I still don't to some degree, but somewhere along the way, either through being mean or they saw something I couldn't see, I went home with a superlative, scatterbrain of the year, forever branded as that to the ones that I went to high school with. See, labeling is very, very dangerous. And this is why Jesus, in our passage today, starts off with a warning, a very strict warning. Read with me Matthew chapter 1, chapter 7, verse 1. Jesus starts off, he says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." He says, don't do it. Don't do it. Is he saying that we shouldn't judge and make judgments? No. He's saying don't be quick to jump to judgment. Does it mean that, you know, we see someone in our family who is destructive, who is through alcohol, through drugs, through bad decisions, is destroying their marriage or destroying their family or finances or headed down a road of destruction, that we just stand back and say, well, I can't judge. Judge not lest I be judged. Absolutely not. We have been called absolutely to step in to do those things. What Jesus is saying here is he says, listen, be careful about judging. Do we know that Jesus asks us to judge things? We absolutely do, because in the next part of this same chapter, here's what he says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16, talking about those who teach you. Jesus says, judge them. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. He says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Jesus says, listen, it's not about not making a judgment call. We should absolutely judge those who teach. Me, your Sunday school teacher, anybody that you listen to, you should judge what they're saying against the truth of God's word. Jesus says, be very, very careful. There are those out there who will deceive you. And then in 1 John 4:1, the writer John says this. He says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John is saying, once again, we should make a judgment call about those who are teaching us. So Jesus is not saying that we put on blinders and say, I can't say anything to anybody, because that would be judging. See, Jesus is warning against the hypocrisy of judging people without really getting to know them, before you had a chance to really do that. And so Jesus, listen, he says, he's talking about labeling people and putting them in a box, putting them in a thing that is unfair. And Jesus says that that message of labeling them incorrectly, goes in direct opposition to the message of grace that he was coming to share with about his kingdom. And so Jesus, from this point on, after he begins to say, don't judge, he begins to lay out some principles. And today we're going to look at four principles that Jesus lays out within his word about how we can be careful not to judge. We can do it in the correct way. And the first one that he talks about in Matthew 7:2 is this principle of reflection. Of reflection. Here's what he says. He says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. See, Jesus says, do not judge lest you be judged. He says, but when you do, be very, very careful, because the way that you judge others will come back to you. The way that you treat others will be right back to you. And what you give out will be reflected right back to you. Listen, in politics, they call this the boomerang effect. Time magazine wrote an article about the fact that when you begin to pick on one candidate, what begins to happen is they begin to assume that the very same thing is the thing you struggle with, and they begin to come back and to look into your life as well. You see, we have to be careful when we begin to judge, because Jesus says, listen, this is not about some divine judgment or payback that is coming down. Jesus is saying is that it is a fact of life that when we judge others, guess what they begin to do? It falls back to us again. The very stroke by which we tar other people, guess what begins to happen? We get tarred in the exact same way. Jesus says, be very, very careful. Let me ask you something. How do you feel? How do you feel when someone makes a hasty judgment on you? What do you say? You don't even know me. You don't know who I am. You have prejudged me way before I ever got a chance to explain to you who I am and got to know me in a personal way. And so Jesus is saying, listen, be very, very careful. What you put out will be what you get back in. He says this over and over and over again. Even at the very end of this section, he sums everything back up again as he talks about the fact. He says, Jesus says, do not judge too quickly. Be careful that we judge not too quickly. As a matter of fact, we have to be really, really careful. Check out this video.
Hey, dude. You got to get down. Come on.
America.
We have to be careful, don't we? Walking into a circumstance that you don't know all the facts, and suddenly you find yourself judging that person. Some of you don't like cats. That was like a great video for you. I know it was. And so we have to be careful about making and being hasty in our judgments. I'll never forget, we were on vacation, and the girls and I, we were out west with Melinda, with just me and the girls, and we went to a Long John Silver's, and in that Long John Silver's was a whole group of the roughest looking characters you've ever seen right in front of us. And they were, I mean, I looked like they had bathed in a week. They had on leather jackets. They were tatted up, earrings. There were places pierced on them I've never even seen pierced. And I began to kind of take my girls and be like, okay, we'll just back up, you know. And then I began to focus in on the back of their jacket. What do you think it said? Bikers for Jesus. And they were some of the nicest people. Amazing. But you know what? I jumped to a conclusion and began to judge them before I ever had a chance even to really to get to know. And listen, we got to be really careful. As a matter of fact, if you're a guy here and you have a Pinterest account, I'm judging you. But here's what I found the other day. I like Pinterest. So I've had to take a step back and go, well, maybe. I still don't have an account. Probably never will. I just vicariously, you know, surf under my wife's name. We have to be careful, don't we? Jesus is like, man, don't judge lest you be judged, because in doing so, we reap back the very thing that we ourselves don't want to do. Just one more illustration, because I thought this was a cool story, but there was a story that popped up online and on Facebook, and there's a picture of a man on a subway. And what's so cool about this, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a Jewish man off to his right, and he's wearing the yarmulke, and so the story goes like this. Someone snapped this picture, but they don't know each other. This man was so exhausted, he just leaned over and fell asleep on his shoulder. And the one that had the camera looked to the guy, and he said, would you like me to wake him up? And here's what he said. He said, he must have had a long day. Let him sleep. He said, we've all been there, right? We've all been there. See, the judgment would have been that here's a guy who's being kind of rude. In a New York subway, New Yorkers aren't as rude as we think they are they? As this man leans over, it was so unique that it went viral and people were looking at it, but it shouldn't be that way, should it? See, we judge that. And so can we agree today with the words of Jesus, we're going to stop labeling folks? See, the reality is that many times when I talk, people, and they'll come to me and they'll have issues and problems in their life, and I will say, listen, man, you need to turn back to a relationship to Jesus. You need to come and be a part of church. And let me tell you what they say so many times, and this is an indictment on the church. They'll go, why would I go to a place that's going to make me feel worse than I already feel? See, so many times, rather than the church being a place that they hear the truth, which is judgmental enough, there are a group of people that gather in a building that say they worship Jesus, who ironically the people who were the most judged were attracted to. And the religious people were the ones that they repelled away. You see, the reality is that many people drive by this building and they see a whole bunch of people, unjustly so, a bunch of people who have labeled them as unworthy, sinful, unspiritual, and you know what? The perception that the church has on that is a problem. Do you know why so many people, the 18,000 people that live within a 3 to 5 mile radius of our church, aren't here today? There's multiple reasons, but I will tell you that one of the number one reasons is many of them have been in church and they have experienced the judgmental side. Jesus says, listen, don't do it. Don't do it. It goes contrary to the message that I'm going to have. And so what do we see? We see that the principle of reflection, we have to be careful in that. But the next thing Jesus says, he says, listen, we have to have a principle of inspection. As we don't want to be judgmental, the way to avoid that, to be careful, is we begin to look inside first. And so he says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see, Jesus says we have to judge ourselves before we can ever really be able to make a judgment on somebody else. We have to remember who we are in light of who God is. Because listen, who are we to think that we could reach in and fix anybody? In reality, I mean, Jesus says, listen, he says, eye surgery is a delicate business. As I fall down. He says, eye surgery is a delicate business. And he gives this absurd account. And what he does, he says, listen, the sawdust is in your brother's eye. And what he says, listen, why don't you take this and strap it to your head and get a pair of tweezers and try to remove the speck out of somebody else's eye. I don't know about you. I don't want anybody with a 2x4 wrapped around their head doing surgery on my eye. And Jesus gives this absurd example, because what he's saying is that what you are saying about judging others is absurd, because who are we to judge somebody else knowing and realizing the darkness of our own soul, the place that we have been? You see, behind every situation, there's a story. Do you understand that? There's a story. So many times we just want to take the surface. And then when we begin to look and we make that judgment, we want, without looking inside and saying, listen, how can I relate to where they are? We just want to come in and begin to do surgery on their life. And what do? We just cause destruction. And we cause more pain and more harm than we can do without the power of God in the process, by which we are first look inside and go, listen, why is it I'm even thinking about saying any of these things? Is it because I want to look better? Is it because I want to seem more holy? Or is it a genuine caring for that other person? You see, Jesus is saying, listen, it's never about just an accusation. It's about restoration. It's never about just trying to make that other person feel bad. And so Jesus says, listen, he said, you got to be careful. One of the greatest examples of being blind to your own situation and trying to reach out, we find in the Bible, many of them, but one of the greatest examples is David, King David. Many of us know this story, but if you don't, King David, it says that when he should have been at battle, he was at home and he's looking out over and he sees this beautiful woman bathing, Bathsheba, and although he's got palaces after palaces of not only his wives, but concubines, And he's got more ladies than he knows what to do with. But what does he do? He looks over and onto this rooftop and sees Bathsheba, and she's beautiful. He calls to have her come over, and they sleep together. They have sex. And to cover it up, he kills her husband. And then Nathan shows up, the prophet. You see, David just began to live his life, not acknowledging the sin that was in his eye, the plank in his own eye. But God sends Nathan, and Nathan comes in. He's kind of like a detective, you know. He's kind of going through, and he's just kind of like, "Hey, David, let me run this story by you." He said, "There's two men. There's a rich man, and there is a poor man. And the poor man has a sheep, and this isn't just any little sheep. It's like a pet." The family brings it in, and they feed its food. It sleeps with them, and it's just, they love this thing. But the rich man had a guest come to his house, and he's like, you know, "David, help me out here. I'm just trying to put all this together." But the rich man had a guest come to his house, and this man didn't go get the multitude of the sheep that he had, but he went and got the poor man's little pet sheep, killed it, and fed it to his guest. "What do you think we ought to do, David?" David said, "It's outrageous. We ought to find this person and we ought to kill them." Nathan looks at him and goes, "That man is you." See, David couldn't see because of the plank in his eye. And he's trying to take the sawdust out of his brothers. I don't know about you, but for me, so many times I have to do a heart check in my own life. Because many times I am judgmental against other people because of the very sin within my own life. Because if I can make them and judge them, then I don't have to deal with the sin that is harbored within my own heart. I will pick on the sin that I'm not struggling with and harbor the very one within my own life. Being judgmental. And so we have to be reflective. Jesus says, listen, he says, be very, very careful when you begin to do eye surgery. He says, you need to take that thing out of your way so that you can see clearly as to what is taking place. And then Jesus moves on, and he's Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, a passage of scripture that many times we read over and we just don't really dwell on. And we could probably go longer today, but he talks about the fact, the principle of selection. Here's what he says in Matthew 7, 6. He says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. See, Jesus is saying, listen, when it comes to, after having done an introspection and realizing that you see something going on in someone else's life, there will be those times where you have the best motives and the best things going on, and you will spend all this enormous amount of time trying to speak truth into their life. Jesus says, listen, there are times where you just have to say they're not going to be receptive. So many times you might hear somebody on the radio, talk radio, trying to defend Christianity, and they're talking, and there's an atheist, somebody who doesn't believe in God, and they have a 30-minute or a 30-second segment or a 2-minute segment. They try to defend their faith, and as soon as they hang up, those people begin to just tear apart everything that happened. And Jesus is saying, listen, sometimes you just have to realize that people are not going to take the instruction that you have in your life as you judge. And so sometimes you just have to be selective about who is willing to hear. Have a wisdom about who is there. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Jesus is saying it's okay at some point just to walk away and to realize that God is going to deal with them where they are. Because listen, I don't know about you, but there have been times where I have tried and tried and tried and tried, and my motives are pure, and I've examined myself, and I'm looking, and I see someone who's living a destructive life, and they just are absolutely not going to turn, and I just have to say, God, I'm going to have to leave them in your hands. I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine anymore, because listen, they take the very instruction that I have, and they just tear it up. And it's wasted. But then there's others who are receptive. We know who they are. They are at the place where they are just looking for somebody from God's kingdom, part of his family, to come in and say, listen, here's what I see in your life. Man, I want to put my arm around you and come alongside you and to speak some godly wisdom into your life. And they're receptive. They're open to the feedback. And maybe you're the person that is open to the feedback. And Jesus says, listen, be very careful. Concentrate on the ones who are receptive. How do we know this is true? If you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was very much strategic in who he spent his time with. He loved everybody equally, didn't he? But he didn't treat everybody equally because he only had so much time. He died for everybody equally, but when he poured his life and to the ones who were receptive, when the ones left and said, listen, that's a hard saying, I can't believe that, he didn't run after them and say, I was just kidding, come on back, I want a big crowd. Jesus, as he laid out the truths of who he was, he understood what it means to concentrate on the receptive. And so the question is, how do we confront sin? Because that's really what we're talking about here. As we get to know the person and we make judgments into someone's life, as we talked about the fact we are supposed to intersect people where they are in life as they're going through and they're making bad decisions. Some of you here today, I don't know, or maybe you're about to make a decision that's going to change your life forever. Financially, relationally. Today, hopefully, what we can do for you, what God will do for you today, is he will intersect where you are and make a judgment upon your life and say, listen, what you are doing is wrong. It's okay for us to do that. We need to confront sin. It's not saying we just throw up our hands and say, well, he's having an affair, but judge not lest you be judged. I can't say anything. I know that there's something going on in their life. Oh, this person is doing drugs and being destructive and destroying their family. Judge not lest you be judged. I'm just going to wash my hands of it and say, you know what? I can't judge. I can't be the one. No. It's not what God, Jesus is saying here. And so how do we confront sin biblically? Not in the way that many times is so harsh. And so I'm going to give you four here that are in different parts of Scripture. You can write these down. The first one is to deal with sin tenderly. Galatians 6:1 says this, Paul writing. He says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gingerly." Gingerly. When someone is caught in sin, it's interesting, the word for restore here in the Greek is the same word for resetting a bone and fixing those things. But here's the challenge. Many of us, when we confront sin, we want to re-break the bone, maybe break it another place. Like, you know, what's wrong with you? We just want to keep breaking. And what he's saying is that we need to put our arms around them and restore them gingerly. Not overlooking the sin, but coming alongside them and having gone through the process of inspection and selection. The other thing is we want to deal with sin carefully. In Galatians, the second part, 6:1, the last part, it says, "But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." Here's what he's saying is this. He said, be careful as you confront sin, because listen, story after story of someone who is counseling somebody because they are committing adultery, and you know what, over time what can happen is suddenly they themselves end up in a relationship. You have to be very careful as you are dealing with people who are in sin, lest they pull you in to the very thing that is taking place. And so Paul says, listen, do it gingerly, do it gently, but be careful when dealing with sin. In Matthew 18:15, we see that we should deal with it privately. The whole chapter of verse of Matthew 18 is a great one to read as far as conflict, but the first part of that, when it comes to conflict, here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Whoa, okay, so we should go and make a judgment call on that. He says, but just between the two of you. You do it privately. Now, in extreme cases, it goes on and talks about the fact that they're unrepentant. It can, at some point, be made public. But did you know that if someone's doing something wrong, don't come tell me. I'm not the sin police. I'm your pastor. The Bible says to go to them directly, lovingly, gently, not judgmental, but taking that plank out of your own eye and helping them as they get through. And then what do we see? That we confront sin biblically by dealing with it mercifully. Mercifully. 2 Corinthians 2:7-8, Paul is addressing a sexual sin that had been within the church, and so the church has dealt with it the way that they should. And so here's what he's saying about that person that they have dealt with. He says in 2 Corinthians 2:7-8, he says, now instead you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you therefore to reaffirm your love for him. See, the church should be a place that we confront sin, but here's what the church should not be. Will we beat people up even worse than where they are? There's a time and a place when someone is unrepentant that you follow steps that Jesus has given us. But here's the reality is that God has called us to put our arms around people and to gently guide them, not to judge them, get to know them, and to move them through the truth of Scripture back to a place of repentance. And so Jesus says, listen, he says, we must deal with sin. So you ask yourself, how do we do this? How do we deal with people this way? Well, Jesus, right after this, moves into a passage which begins to move from a direct message to us about dealing one-on-one with each other and begins to move it back up to a picture of a relationship with God. You see, ultimately, he's always, if we've gone through every one of these, he moves to the heart of the matter. And he reminds us of our relationship with God, of how much he loves us, of how much he cares for us. And Jesus, knowing exactly why he's come, Jesus in chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, talks about a principle of reconciliation. We must, to truly be able to deal with people the way that God wants us to, we have to reconnect with the mercy that the Father has shown me and he's shown you. You see, that's the foundational key to doing this the right way, is that when we stay connected to our relationship to God and who we are in him, it keeps us from elevating ourselves into the judge, jury. But we understand that ultimately we serve and have been saved by an amazing God. Here's what he says in Matthew 7, 9 through 11. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? He said, if then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, Jesus moves right into the fact that following a section on judging others, it's because judging others really is based on our perception of who God is. You see, if I don't fully understand the grace that God has given me, guess what? I can't extend grace to others in a way that matches what God has done for me. If I don't understand what God has done for me through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, having forgiven me of my sins and restoring me to a relationship with him, then suddenly what begins to happen is I begin to become a religious person who is trying to do this on their own. And as we know, if the people that Jesus is talking to, there is a religious group who has done nothing but judge every single person that is out there and saying, you'll never be as good as me. And it has, just like in our own society, so many have turned their back. They don't have a problem with Jesus. They just have a problem with those who follow him because they feel judged. They don't feel like it's a place they could come and they could connect, or even anybody would care what is happening. And so there's the principle of reconnection. And we see that through the stories in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, we see that there is a heavenly Father, just like the prodigal son, who is dying for his children to come back to him. And do you understand that as we understand what God has done for us, then we share a message of those who are falling away, those who are struggling, those who need someone to intersect their life and to speak some truth. Rather than coming in a place of judgment, guess what? We will echo and mirror our Heavenly Father who says, listen, I've been waiting and looking for you at the end of the road. Help me, and I want to reconnect you with a God who loves you. A God who has done everything on your behalf to reach you. You see, as we reconnect with that, it begins to change us. And so as we close, I just want to ask you a few questions. What would it look like? What would it look like in your mind? Think about this. If we became a church that quit labeling people, the people that go to church with us, the people who are going to walk through those doors, the people who walk down the street, the people who live in planter subdivision, people who live down the street in the trailer parks, in Antigua, the person who serves and gives you gas, down at the supermarket. Nobody serves gas anymore. The people that you interact with every single day. What would it look like if we became a church that did that? What if we stopped asking people to look like us, act like us, smell like us before we would ever interact with them? What would it look like? What if we came and spoke the truth in love and put our arms around them and walked them back into a loving, merciful God? What would it look like? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus sums up this section. Here's what he says. And I think this is what it looks like. He says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Jesus puts a heavy weight on the fact that as we live this life and reach out to others, he says, listen, in everything, do unto others, you'd have them do unto you, the golden rule. He said, upon The law and the prophets, the very thing by which Jesus was coming and fulfilling, he said, this is the foundational thing. This is what my church should look like. Not one who stands in a pious position, but one that is bowed before a heavenly Father and realizes that what Jesus has done for them and cares with a broken heart about those who are far from God. See, Jesus is reminding him, what God has done for you, now go and do for others. Let's bow our heads. We're going to have a time of, a quick time of invitation, and this is your opportunity. You can do this in your seat. You can do it here. You know the drill. We do it every single week, but this is the opportunity if you want to come down and spend some time here at the prayer area that's right down here. If you want to come talk to me, I'll be right down front. But today, let's just open up our hearts and say, God, where is it that I am judging someone? God, what is the plank in my eye that I need to get rid of so that I can be better suited to help somebody else take the plank out of their own eye? God, who am I judging? I'm going to pray when I'm done. That's your opportunity to move. Father, thank you for today. God, I've been convicted by what you have shown us today. God, I know in my heart that I have been judgmental toward others. God, I ask today that you begin even today to help me to take the plank out of my own eye. God, to let my pride be set aside. God, I might see people like you see them. God, you love everyone. You died for the entire world. You see no color, no race, no ethnic backgrounds, no amount of money made, no anything. Father, you just see people who need you. Jesus, you have provided the way. You died for every single one of us. God, help us to have a heart broken for the things that breaks your heart. Set aside our judgmental ways. God, may our church be known as a place where people can come with brokenness, not having it all together, and feel like there are people that love them, that desire to lead them, put their arms around them. Father, that's our prayer today. In Jesus' name.